إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، الحديث 28 من 40 النووية عن أبي نجيح العرباد بن سارية رضي الله عنه قال: وعظنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم موعظة وجلت منها القلوب وذرفت منها العيون، فقلنا: يا رسول الله، كأنها موعظة مودع، فأوصنا. قال: أوصيكم بتقوى الله عز وجل والسمع والطاعة، وإن تأمر عليكم عبد حبشي فإنه من يعش منكم فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا، فعليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين عضوا عليها بالنواجذ، وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور، فإن كل بدعة ضلالة. رواه الترمذي وقال: حديث حسن صحيح. Continue reading the explanation of the 40 hadith from Al-Minha al-Rabbaniya of our noble Shaykh Al-Allama Dr. Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhahu Allah. Tonight we start the hadith number 28 on the authority of Abi Najih Al-Irbad ibn Sariya radiallahu anhu. He says, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a sermon by which our hearts were filled with fear and tears came to our eyes. And we said, O Messenger of Allah, it is as though this is a farewell sermon, so advise us. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I advise you to fear Allah and to give absolute obedience, meaning to the ruler, or to obey the ruler, even if a slave, Abyssinian slave, become your leader. Verily, he among you who lives long will see great controversy, differing. So you must keep to my sunnah, follow my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guide, Khalifa, cling to it with your molar teeth, and be aware of the newly invented matters, for indeed every innovation lead you astray. قال الشيخ صالح حفظه الله: هذا حديث عظيم، هذا حديث عظيم، وعظ فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أصحابه موعظة بليغة. Our noble Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan حفظه الله, he said this is a great hadith. In it the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has admonished his companions, a very serious admonition. قال الشيخ: والوعظ مطلوب، والتذكير بالله والتذكير بالجنة والنار والبعث والنشور مطلوب. He says to admonish the people, this is required. People need to be admonished, to be reminded of Allah, reminded of the paradise and the hellfire. People be reminded of the resurrection, and that the people will be resurrected and stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And the best admonition is the Qur'an itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Nisa, wa'idhum, and admonish them. فَالْوَعْظُ مَطْلُوبُ. Said people need to be admonished and reminded of death and the like. خلافا للذين الآن يهونون من شأن الوعظ ومن شأن ذكر الجنة والنار والقيامة والحشر، يهونون من هذه الأمور كما ينشر في الصحف، ويسخرون من الأئمة والخطباء الذين يعظون الناس. هذا دليل على نفاقهم وعلى كراهيتهم للحق والعياذ بالله، وعلى قسوة قلوبهم. الشيخ ساز الحمد لله ما أصلح الله. الشيخ says yes, people need to be reminded and admonished, as opposed to those people who they belittle from the importance of this matter, and they speak ill, as he says, we heard in newspapers, people who don't understand the deen, they write and they belittle this matter, and they talk bad about the khutaba, those imams who give Jumu'ah sermon and the like, and they make fun of them when they mention and they remind the people of death, of the Jannah, of the hellfire and the like. The Shaykh says this is a proof to their hypocrisy and that they hate the truth, walayyadu billah. And that's because of their hearts, it's hardened and it's hard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Muddathir, قال الله سبحانه وتعالى فما لهم عن التذكرة معرضين فما لهم عن التذكرة معرضين كأنهم حمر مستنفرة فرت من قسورة فرت من قسورة. الشيخ منشن آية or the آيات from 49 to 51 in سورة المدثر. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا لَهُمْ عَنِ التَّذْكِرَةِ مُعْرَدِينَ. Then what is wrong with them that they turn away from receiving admonition? They turn away from receiving admonition, as if they were frightened wild donkeys fleeing from a hunter or a lion or a beast of prey. ثم بدأ الشيخ يشرح هذا الحديث الذي قال فيه العرباد بن سارية وعظنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم موعظة وجلت منها القلوب. Now the Shaykh began to explain this hadith and he's going to break it into sentences. Now he's going to explain the statement when Al-Irbad ibn Sariya radiallahu anhu says that about the admonition and the sermon, the serious sermon the Prophet gave them. He says an admonition that brought fear to the hearts and tears to the eyes. He says meaning that the sermon was so serious that they were afraid and they cried. The Sahaba رضوان الله عليهم قال وهذا من كمال وعظه صلى الله عليه وسلم وتأثيره على الناس. And that's because the admonition of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم are perfect. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he speaks, his speech have effect on the people. وفي هذا بيان أيضا لما كان عليه الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم من قبول الوعظ والتأثر به بخلاف الذين يسمعون الوعظ ولا يتأثرون به، هؤلاء قد قست قلوبهم. أما التأثر بالوعظ فهو دليل على سلامة القلب من القسوة. Likewise in this hadith and this portion of it, it indicates clearly the state of the companions رضوان الله عليهم that they used to accept the admonition which is given to them by the Prophet ﷺ, and they used to be affected by it. They cry and they're afraid. Their eyes shed tears. He says, as opposed to those people who they are admonished, but there's no effect whatsoever on their hearts. They hear the Jannah, the Hellfire, they hear Yawm al-Qiyamah, they hear Tawheed, nothing. He says, because their hearts are hard, are hardened. He says, as for the one who, when being admonished, he's affected by that, that's a proof that that person have a sound heart, and that that person's heart is not hard, rather is a soft heart. قال فقلنا يا رسول الله كأنها موعظة مودع. When the Prophet ﷺ gave them the admonition, Al-Irbad radiallahu anhu, he says, we said, O Messenger of Allah, it seems like it is a farewell sermon. يعني كأن هذا يدل على قرب أجلك. لأن العادة أن الإنسان يوصي من خلفه إما عند سفره وإما عند موته. The Sheikh said, what they mean, the companions, with that, it seems like it is a farewell sermon, an admonition. They mean with that that they say to the Prophet ﷺ, it seems like your term is coming near, like you may die soon. Why? He says, because the Shaykh says, because usually a person gives advice to the people and give a serious admonition to those people who he will left behind in two occasions. When a person is traveling, is about to go for a long journey, then he gathers his family members and advises them with taqwa of Allah, this and that and that and this. Because he may never come back from that journey, and also because he is away from them. And also, the Shaykh says, also this very serious admonition comes usually from someone who is about to die too. Someone very sick, and he gathered his people again, and family, and advised them. قَالُوا فَأَوْسِنَا. So they say, advise us. قال أوصيكم بتقوى الله عز وجل والسمع والطاعة وإن تمر وإن تأمر عليكم عبد فإنه من يعيش منكم فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا فعليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين. So when they request that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم advised them at that moment, he said صلى الله عليه وسلم, I advise you with the taqwa of Allah, and to hear and obey the ruler, the Muslim ruler, even if that ruler may be a slave, even if you may be a slave. For indeed he who amongst you will live longer, such a lot of different and disunity and controversy. So hold on firm to my sunnah and the sunnah of the right guide Khalifa. فأوصى بهذه الأمور يقول الشيخ الفوزان حفظ الله فأوصى بهذه الأمور. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he advised them with these matters. Number one, تقوى الله. That's the first advice he gave them. تقوى of Allah. وذلك بفعل أوامره وترك نواهيه رجاء لثوابه وخوفا من عقابه. The Shaykh says, how a person fear Allah and have taqwa by adhering to His commands and staying away from the prohibitions and doing this hoping for the reward and being afraid of the punishment. And being afraid of the punishment, hoping for the reward that Allah has promised the good doors, the righteous, al-muttaqoon, those who have taqwa, those who adhere to His commands and do not fall into the prohibitions. Likewise, those who have taqwa, they save themselves from the punishment of Allah that He has prepared for the evildoers, the wicked and the rebellious and the disobedient. أول ما أوصى به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تقوى الله، وعلينا أن نتواصى بها كذلك. We should advise one another with the taqwa of Allah. And you shouldn't be or feel offended when somebody said to you, taqillah. Some people, when they are advised with this very important advice that the Prophet ﷺ advised the companions, some people get offended. Why you tell me taqillah? I'm okay. No, taqwa Allah is a reminder. Somebody is telling you, be upright, be righteous, prepare yourself for death. Because when death comes, you're not going to add any moment to your life. إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ When a term comes to you, Ya Abdullah, you cannot delay it, you cannot add anything or postpone nothing. So when someone said to you, تَقِ اللَّهِ, it means that prepare for the day when you meet Allah. And how you prepare is by acting upon the commands of Allah. Any commands that come, be serious about it. Do it to the best of your ability. Things you cannot do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. Do them in another way that is easier for you, as legislated. As for the sins, you stay away from them. You don't stay from sins according to your ability. No, you stay away from them. But if any one of us fall into sins, we wrong ourselves, alhamdulillah, we turn to Allah with repentance and with forgiveness, and we ask Allah for forgiveness. الوصية الثانية السمع والطاعة لولاة الأمور. The second advice that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gave them in that very serious admonition is to hear and obey the rulers. See, this is an advice from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now you find the Ikhwan Muslimin and those who follow them, they're like, no, don't listen to the rulers. أعوذ بالله. It's like they're saying, don't listen to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. That's what they're saying to you. The Prophet ﷺ advised in this very important moment, taqwa, and right after that, obey the rulers. You find the Khawarij and the Ikhwan and Muslimun, they're like, no, go against the ruler. Don't listen to him. Who is he to listen to him? Why you want to obey him? You're a man and he's a man. You see? So they go on, as you see, they go on against the text. And there is a text in the Quran, by the way. And the text of the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. لماذا أوصى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بهذه الوصية العظيمة طاعة ولاة الأمور؟ لأنه في هذا جمع الكلمة وفيه مصالح الدنيا والدين. نعم. Prophet ﷺ advised them with this very important principle to hear and obey the Muslim ruler because that unite the Muslims. The Muslims be united behind one imam, one ruler. Which, if they are united, then he brings a lot of good for them in this life and in the hereafter. إذا اجتمعت الكلمة على إمام من أئمة المسلمين وقادهم فإن هذا يحصل فيه الخير كله. When the Muslims adhere to this advice of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, this command, and as we mentioned, command in the Quran as well, command of Allah, command of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and they unite behind one imam, meaning one leader, one ruler. That's what he means here, the imam, meaning the leader, the ruler, from the rulers of the Muslims, and he became their ruler. A lot of good happened in this. A lot of good, subhanAllah. ويحصل فيه اجتماع الكلمة وعدم التفرق. So they be all together, all those Muslims in the Muslim, they be all united behind one ruler, and therefore they be safe from divisions and splitting. ويحصل فيه تنفيذ الحدود على العصاة. And the ruler, he will carry out the prescribed punishment of Allah for the disobedience ones. But if there is no rulers, no obedience, everybody do whatever he want to do. You see? Chaos, like you know, in some Muslim countries, when there is no ruler, what happens? people steal, people kidnapping, and do everything, because there is no ruler, there is nothing. Nothing. Who's going to come and hold them accountable? Fawda. Chaos. But when there is a ruler, people, they know that, look, if he does this, he's going to go and stand in front of the ruler, or those who represent the ruler, the judges and the police and the like. ويحصل فيه الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر ويحصل فيه الحكم بين الناس فيما اختلفوا فيه وقطع النزاع. Many good things. The good be commanded, the evil will be prohibited and warned against. And likewise, people, they will have establishments and institutions. Judges are put in place to judge between the people in their disputes. But if there is no ruler, there is none of this. Chaos. Aynam. ويحصل فيه الأمن على الأنفس والأموال والأعراض. When there is a ruler, everything is in place. The most important ni'mah is amn, safety. Because the ruler, he established the safety. That's one of his main obligations. There is safety in the area. But if there is no ruler, there's nothing. Everybody do whatever they want to do. Gangs in here and over there. Thieves, thugs, highway robbers. But when there is a ruler, no, everybody respect that. So therefore, it brings safety. People are safe as related to their lives, wealth, and honor. But if there is no, subhanAllah, we heard so many sad stories, and unfortunately real ones, in Egypt, Libya, Tunisia, now in Syria, in Iraq before, and in many other places, when they went against their rulers, and chaos in the land, and fighting, and a lot of bad things happen. Anybody can, if anybody has some problems with somebody, now is the time to revenge. But before they couldn't do it, because there is law, there is an order in the land, and there is consequences of their actions. Now they don't care who's going to catch them. There is no police, there is no judges, there is no, nothing. Nothing. So they do whatever they want to do. They steal, they kill. A lot of innocent people were killed just like that. For no reasons. Rape, kidnapping, the destruction of many places. Naam. But with the ruler, naam. That's why Shaykh al-Islam al-Uthaymiyyah rahimahu wa ta'ala, he says, 100 days with an oppressive ruler better than one night without a ruler. He's oppressing, he took the money and this, but there is laws, there is order in the land. You see? People are, alhamdulillah, have safety in their homes, and there is police everywhere, and there is judges, there is courthouses, and there is persecutions, and people, they think about this. But there is no ruler, people do whatever they want to do. Riyadu billah. فيحصل في هذا خيرات كثيرة. نعم, there is a lot of good for the people, for the Muslims, when they obey and obey the ruler, and they are united behind that ruler. ولهذا أوصى بالسمع والطاعة ولي أمر المسلمين ولكن بالمعروف أما إذا أمر بمعصية فإنه لا يطاع في المعصية. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما أخرجه البخاري ومسلم من حديث علي رضي الله عنه لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. So for this reason, for the importance of the matter, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he advised the companions to hear and obey. And that's what exactly happened. Some of the companions, they live longer from them. Ibn Abbas, Jabir, Ibn Umar, Abu Sa'id, Al-Khudri, Anas, Ibn Malik, and many others. They live longer until they say these things. There was rulers that are not from the companions. And they were rulers that they are oppressive, like Al-Hajjaj. Al-Hajjaj who came to Al-Madinah and destroyed and killed people. And he went to Mecca and surrounded the Haram and threw the Haram with fire and manjaniq, what do you call it? Slingshot. The big,
catapult,
yeah. And he killed the Zubair, yeah, Ibn Zubair, Abdullah ibn Zubair. But the Sahaba didn't go against these rulers, the rulers. They were patient. They adhered to the texts. And the Tabi'un. People come to the ulama of the Tabi'un, the like of Al-Hasan al-Basri. Give us a fatwa. We're ready. We go against the Hajjaj. Says, la, don't. Shar, kabir. Likewise, you find our ulama, Fahlul Sunnah, when they were asked, we go against this ruler or the other, he took the money. He took the money. The Prophet said, even if he took your wealth and beat your back, don't go against him. Because when you go against the ruler, he brings evil, more evil. And now people, those who did this, they know. Those people who live in Iraq, who live in Syria now, or in Libya, or Egypt, they know. Some people in Egypt now, they wish if Mubarak was still in the hukum. Those who used to say bad about him, now they make another statement. They're like, yeah, what is those days of Hosni Mubarak? What are those days? They can buy them now with a lot of money. They couldn't find one day of those. When the people, they were in Yemen. Women walk in the street. No, people are afraid in their homes. In their homes. And they're afraid, but they have nothing. They have no weapons to defend themselves. Nothing. But they have one thing. Taqwa Allah. So it's very important, ikhwan, to remember this matter. He says, you obey the Muslim ruler, but if he command with good, with that which is in obedience to Allah. But if that Muslim ruler commands with disobedience, with sins, you don't obey him. But also you don't go against him. You don't obey. If a ruler, he's a Muslim ruler, but he made certain things, brought some haram to the area. But you don't obey him in that. And the Shaykh, he mentioned the hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu, that is agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, rahimahumullah, qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la ta'ata li makhlukin fi ma'asid al-khari. There is no obedience to any created being, meaning human beings, if it leads you to disobey the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning there is no obedience to anyone if it leads you to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We give an example to make it easy. The wife, she's commanded in this beautiful religion of Islam to obey her husband. If her husband said, don't go there or don't do Islam, it's okay, he has the right to do that. And the believing woman should have no problems with that because this is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But she obey her husband only in that which is permissible. But if the husband tell her, look, I have some friends coming, but I want you to come and sit with us. She says, no, I can't sit with you. You see? No. She won't hang and entertain his friends. Okay? Or if he come to her and tell her, I want you to boycott your mother, or boycott your sister, she says, no, I can't boycott the woman, but this is not permissible. It's obedience to Allah. Or he wants her to work in an area that is haram because he wants her to make more money. She's like, no, I would like to help you. I see that you're going through some hardship, but I'm not going to disobey Allah. Okay? Some examples. Likewise, the ruler, if he said things that are permissible, nobody should have any opposition to that. You don't obey him if he come up with some rulings that are haram, then you don't obey that ruler. لكن لا ينحل أمره بل لا يطاع في هذه المعصية ويطاع في غير من المعروف. The Sheikh says, but this doesn't mean that you go against the ruler.
لا.
Revolt against him like they do, these ignorant people now, the Khawarij they do. And they bring a lot of evil to the Muslims. Says, no, you don't obey that haram and the sin, but you accept the good that a ruler, Muslim ruler, call you to. قَالَ وَإِن تَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَبْدٌ. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, when he says, you hear and obey the Muslim ruler, even if that ruler may be a slave. And we have to understand this, Ikhwan. Now we're talking about, this is a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. This is not just opinions and stuff. You know, people out there, they call in to go against the ruler. And what are we going to do with this hadith? Not only this hadith, there's many other hadith and many ayats in the Quran. Of course, na'am, that ruler is bad. Some rulers are very bad rulers. They're not just. They take all the wealth. Na'am, some of them, instead to the wealth that comes from oil or from gold or whatever it comes from, supposed to be distributed according, Wallahu A'lam, but the way that is pleasing to Allah. Some rulers, they don't do that. They take that for themselves. And they take care of their families. And that's it. And whoever helped them to be in there. That's it. But still, this doesn't mean that the people go out in the streets and cause chaos and killing and burning and destroying and bombing. And this is not from our religion. This is not from our religion. Patience. So pay attention, because the Ikhwan al-Muslimun and the Khawarij and them, what they say, they said, look what this ruler is doing. He got billions. These are our money. Okay, but still, that doesn't mean you go out in the street and do it your way. Okay, alhamdulillah, Allah made dhulm haram. That person, he's gonna face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No doubt, not gonna escape that. But as long as we Muslims, alhamdulillah, then we have to apply Islam, not just Muslims by affiliation. And when it comes to matters of importance like this one, they're just gonna listen to anyone. If the Prophet ﷺ said something, this is the one we listen to. Anyone else who call us to something else that oppose what the Prophet ﷺ said, so what do you mean? Like, you're a Muslim and you go against what the Prophet ﷺ said? What Islam is this? Oh, follow the Sunnah. Okay, well, here is the Sunnah, is clear. So why you go against it? Well, because of the ruler. Do you have a hadith? Did the Prophet ﷺ say, look, listen to the ruler, unless if you take your money? Oh yeah, maybe there is one. Well, guess what? There is one that's against this. Because we have a hadith. Prophet ﷺ says, you hear and obey the ruler. وَإِنْ أَخَذَ مَالَكَ وَضَرَبَ ظَهْرَكَ. Even if he take your wealth, come and take your wealth. And he beat you up. Then still you don't go against him. SubhanAllah. Yeah, SubhanAllah. But some people, they're like, come on, man, that's impossible. Ain't nobody going to do that. Take your money and beat you up and still obey? Come on, you coward. No, Muslim who apply the Sunnah, that's what it is. Nobody wants his money to be taken or to be beat up. But then, hey, what you going to do? You're a Muslim, you submit to the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. And that's what makes the difference. Especially in times of test and trial, because now we're studying this hadith. Alhamdulillah. I obey. Yes, obey. If I ask every one of you right now, Akhi Hassan, Muslim ruler, you obey in him?
No.
Take your wealth?
No.
No problem. From Sunnah. From Sunnah. But in reality, we ask Allah for firmness.
Ameen.
Some people do worse than that. Somebody step on their shoes and you see what they're going to do. Taking their wealth and beat him up. But in reality, it's different. That's why you have to have firmness upon this sunnah, man. You gotta make sure that this is what the Prophet ﷺ says, and this is what is right. Anybody gonna call me to something else? Because shaitan is gonna come to you in times of fitan. That's how a lot of people, they go and rally, you know. Shaitan, wicked. Are you still here? Your brothers out there, they doing it for you. Get out there with them. But then you can't get out there. Why? Because your texts tell you not to. And it's not about this life, it's about the hereafter. Those people who go out there in the streets and they get killed, of course Qardawi is deviant because he's the head of the Ikhwan Muslimin. And whoever follow him on that, what they say about those people who killed themselves? Shuhada, martyrs. But what Allah said about them in the Quran? What Allah said? وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُزَكُمْ. So who we listen to, Allah or to Qardawi? Yes, but see, you find people, they're like, oh, I don't know the ayah, but Qardawi is alim. Yeah, alim, they're right. The ayah is clear. We have a hadith, the hadith, مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسَهُ بِحَدِيدَةٍ. Whoever can kill himself with a blade or with something, he's in a hellfire, doing to himself the same thing, again and again. What are you going to do with this hadith and the like of it? See, that's why you got to ask Allah firmness. When you study this hadith, alhamdulillah, like Brother Hassan said, hey, I obey. Why? Sunnah. But then in reality, subhanAllah, you work so hard for that business and then they come and take it away from you. And it's been happening. Some Muslim countries, they just come. Okay? Not the ruler, the big one. His deputy rulers and those little guys that supposed to establish the peace and justice, they go and like mafia. Like the mafia, they go to them, hey, you want to keep your business? Yes, 50%. 50? 60. What? That's it. If you want to keep open or what? It's happening in some places. If he said no, they take it away from him and give it to somebody else. I know. Or they make his life hard. Nothing. Nobody come to him. He will find no supplies. Nobody deal with him. Mafia. This is a mafia work. That's what the mafia do. They go to someone and tell him, look, you want to stay in business? We have this area, man. You got to pay the dues, you know. What is it? 20%. What? Look, man. If he don't, they think like, look, man. So, it's very important, Yahi, to ask Allah firmness upon the sunnah. Not just when we just study in it. You may be afflicted by it. And then what are you going to do? Go running after with the people who are running too? So what is the purpose of these classes and studying this? No, you're like, no. Because shaitan is going to come to you from the shaitan of the jinn and the human being too. You're a coward. They're going to boycott you. They may be the closest people to you. Maybe your family. Maybe even your wife and children. As it happened to some of our brothers in the times of fitna and trial. Their own families boycott them. Coward. This is the Salafiyah you're in. We're never going to go nowhere with this Salafiyah. Everybody's out there killed for this good cause. What good cause? This is a good cause? See the jahl? But you're not going to budge. Why? You're not coward. Of course, you want the ruler to be gone long time ago. You want justice. But you know that the justice in what Allah legislated is not what the UN says. Not in democracy and the like. Okay? It's in what Allah legislates for us, because He is Al-Hakim, the All-Wise, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and you're firm upon the Sunnah, because that's what you're going to meet Allah with. You're not going to switch the Sunnah only when things are going your way peacefully. Now when time of trial, you switch the channel. No, you meet Allah with the Sunnah, and you apply the Sunnah in the times of difficulty and the times of hardship. قال وإن كان عبد نعم even if that a ruler is عبد
الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله
حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة
نعم. قال وإن تأمر عليكم عبد. قال هذا من باب ضرب المثال، يعني لا يحتقر ولي الأمر مهما كان، ولو كان عبدا، وفي رواية عبدا حبشيا مجدع الأطراف، ما دام أنه ولي أمر المسلمين فلا يحتقر لشخصيته، وإنما ينظر إلى منصبه وولايته، ما دام تم له الأمر وانعقدت له البيعة فإنها تجب طاعته، وحتى ولو حصل منه مخالفات لا تصل إلى حد الكفر فإنه يطاع لما في طاعته من المصالح ولا ولما في الخروج عليه من المضار العظيمة والمفاسد مع مناصحته وبيان الحق له، يعني لا يسكت عنه ويترك بل يناصح، وقد جاء في الحديث الدين النصيحة، قلنا لمن؟ قال لله ولكتابه ولرسوله ولأئمة المسلمين وعامتهم. The Sheikh says, yes, this is the advice of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is the wasiyah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that the Muslims, they obey, they hear and obey the Muslim ruler, even if he is a slave. So they shouldn't look at the person, who is he, what tribe he's from. That's what happens sometimes. In some country when there is big tribes on this, oh, he's not one of us, and they go against him and talk bad about him and incite the people and instigate and this. No. Regardless. As long as he's a ruler, okay? So you don't look at him as a person, but you look at his position. Now, you're not respecting him because he's white or black or rich or poor or taller or not. No, the Sheikh says you're respecting him because of his position. Once he's the ruler, now it is obligatory to obey him. It becomes an obligation. The bay'ah, the pledge to him, and he is the ruler, you recognize him that he is your ruler, and you obey him. And obeying him is an obligation. The Shaykh says, even if you see from him some mukhalafat, violations, as long as those violations are not kufr, disbelief, he will continue to be obeyed. Continue to be obeyed. Why? Because by obeying him and not going against him, it brings a lot of good to the Muslims. It brings a lot of good. But going against him bring a lot of evil, waliyadu billah, ruin and destruction. And as we mentioned, there's a Muslim, some Muslim country there, they are not the best example, but they are an example. Is it the best? Allahu alam. They are an example right now. May Allah protect the Muslims from evil. Ameen. The Sheikh says, nah, you obey the ruler, but you advise them. That ruler is not perfect. He makes mistakes. But you advise them. And this advising them, the nasiha, has to be done correctly as well. Mentioning the mistakes of a ruler from the minbar niyam al-jum'ah, that's not nasiha, that's fadiha. As the khawarij they do, and the ikhwan al-muslimun, the ignorant, and also those who they have a plan, they're doing it for a purpose. They're not just doing it because they are ignorant. They're doing it because they have a plan. And they talk about their rulers from the manabir. This is against the sunnah. Because this brings evil. The laymen, they hear that, and they go out and demonstrate, and many of them are killed right now. Now there are wives and have no men, children with no father, a mother with no children, chaos. And those men are killed now. Who's going to replace them in their work that they used to do? It's a lot of chaos here. But the Ikhwan al-Muslimun, that's what they want, because they hum jama'a siyasiya. The Ikhwan, they are a political group. Because they are one of the worst of the groups. Why? Because they use Islam as an umbrella. At least the communists, they say, look, they are a party. Communists, that's it. Islam, they say, look, leave Islam alone, with no religion. Ilmaniyun, likewise. They khubatha, they filthy as well. But the Ikhwan, they worse. Because they use Islam for them. And they claim now they're doing it for Islam. If you do it for Islam, why you go against the text of the Quran and Sunnah? That makes no sense. If somebody claim now we're doing it for Islam, okay, what comes from Islam then? Why you go against Islam? And that's what they do exactly. They go against the text. And the best example, when the Ikhwan went against Husni Mubarak, and the people, the ulama of al-Salaf and Ahl al-Sunnah, they were telling them, remind them of the text, this text, of obedience to the ruler. Oh, they bring so many false interpretations. Qardawi and them. Now, they do not apply on this one. And they start doing, bringing their own explanation. Nobody from the Sahaba know that explanation. Nobody from the Tabi'een, the A'imma of Islam. Why? Because they take the Ikhwan, they take the texts and interpret them in a way that goes with their plan. SubhanAllah, Allah exposed them. When Mursi is one of them, became the ruler, right? And then the people go against him. What Qardawi and they say? They use the same text. You cannot go against him. Why? He's a ruler. Says who? Oh, Prophet said. Why didn't you use this same text on Husni Mubarak? You see? Playing games. But see, the problem is the laymen, those Muslims who don't want to learn the deen, they become an easy prey. Masakin, they go get killed. Killed for what? I go to Jannah. Well, subhanAllah. Killed for what? If Allah says do it, nah, alhamdulillah, Allah, He's the one who promised the Jannah, but He didn't promise the Jannah when Ikhwan tell you go do it their way. SubhanAllah. Of course, anyone who brought chaos to the Muslims, if they only know when they stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Those who use the manabir, oh, go out, do this, kill, it's okay, it's permissible. What are they going to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If Allah says this, but they say go against it. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, but then they're like, no, we know, don't worry about it. Some of them, even they have this boldness, they says, put it on us. Just go. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, put everything. If you find out on Yawm al-Qiyamah that you're wrong, it's all on us. A'udhu billah. How can a person really for a chair in the parliament? Look, they after all of this, they're not there anymore. Ya subhanAllah. And even if they were there for until they die on their chairs, okay, they're not going to meet Allah. لا ينفع إلا الصدق. The only thing that will benefit is the truthfulness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by applying the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Muslims, the layman's masakeen, now after all of this chaos, so many people, innocents are killed. Look at the economy of Egypt, Libya, Iraq, destroyed, man. It's supposed to be powerful and strong. Now it's weak, getting weaker. Now certain people, they're like, man, we know it was a big game. What about those who died in it? You're going to bring them back? Can't. So it's very important for us to remember these matters. We stop where the sunnah tell us to stop. As the Imam al-Awza'i says, نَدُورُ مَعَ السُنَّةِ. We turn as the sunnah command us to turn. Sunnah says make a right, we make a right. Nobody says why not left. You still don't know why? SubhanAllah. Sunnah tell you go right. Sunnah said stop. Don't make one step. Look at the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud when he was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam draw a line to him on the sand. And he said to him, look, I'm going to go somewhere. But during my absence, some people are going to come and see you. As long as you don't pass this line, nothing going to happen to you. And then some frightening people came to him and he was afraid. But nothing happened to him because he didn't pass the line. But who drew that line? The Prophet ﷺ. Going against the sunnah bring evil. Doesn't bring no good. And it happens to the best of this ummah. Look in the battle of Uhud. What happened in the battle of Uhud? At the beginning of the battle of Uhud, the Muslims, they were victorious or not? Yes. They were victorious. They were victorious and the enemy are running away, leaving behind them spoil and Allahu Akbar. But what happened, those archers? Their companions, radiallahu anhum. By them disobeying the order of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what happened? The ulama, they said, Allah punished them for that. And when they were, after they were winning, they lost the battle. Because of them disobeying one order of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they didn't do it on purpose. Hasha wa kalla, they are the companion, the best. What about those who go against the sunnah on purpose? They know it, but they still go against it because of politics. A'udhu billah, nas'al Allah as-salamu al-'afiyah. So the Shaykh, he says, you give advice, but not on the manabir, like the Khawarij do, on books, on CDs, on YouTube, this ruler did this, la. Somebody have advice, give it to the ruler. Write him a letter. That's what you're supposed to do. He accepted, alhamdulillah. Didn't accept it, Allahu Akbar. You did what you're supposed to do. It's not like, okay, somebody sent him a letter and said, in 3 days, this Jumu'ah, if he doesn't change everything, we'll go against him. Says who? It's not how it's done. Give the nasiha, alhamdulillah. Al-amru thalith, ittiba'u sunnah inda al-ikhtilaf. The third wasiyah that the Prophet ﷺ gave to the companions is holding firm to the sunnah in a time of ikhtilaf. When you differ, when somebody says, let's do this, the other one said this, then what you do now? Toss the coin? Vote like the ikhwan and the ignorant people do? They vote. They said, okay, 6 people in a room, and they couldn't agree, they're like, let's vote. 5 outs 1. Even if that one person has the right, the haqq is with him, they don't care. Look, 5 against you, shut. Don't say anything. It's not how marriage is done. No, turn it to the sunnah of the Prophet. Okay, what is the rule? If you don't know, ask somebody. Come to the imam of the masjid if he's upon the sunnah. If you speak Arabic and you are in a land where there is ulama, go to a alim like that. If there is ulama in Egypt, in Yemen, in Saudi, in Senegal, in Pakistan, I'm just randomly mentioning some countries, okay? I'm not limiting the ulama in these countries, okay? It's randomly, I'm not going to mention all the countries. That's what came to my mind at this moment, okay? Then those people, they go to the ulama. For example, in Medina, there is so many ulama, alhamdulillah. They pray next to you. They have classes. They teach in university. Here you go, salam alaikum, Shaykh. I have a question for you. What should we do, Shaykh, in this? That's what you do, because qala Allah, qala Rasulullah, don't apply that. Enough. Turn every conflict to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and be ready to accept it, as we're going to learn later on, inshallah. We stop here. Hada wa sallallahu alaihi wasallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima.